Hello. Welcome to another episode of Hey, It Gets Better, the podcast all about the ups and downs of life and how ultimately it gets better. I'm your host, Katie Watson. Today, I'm joined by Sina Sadzara. He is the head of growth at MyNFT, the CEO and co-founder at Wing, and also the host of the Millennial Entrepreneur podcast. Today, we talk about what he has learned as an entrepreneur, particularly around his first business, Peppercorn, which is no longer around. And we also talk a lot about identity. But before I get into today's episode, I want to share a quick word from our sponsor. StriveX Accountants are the proud sponsors of this episode of Hey, It Gets Better. They provide person-centered and community-driven accountancy services for changemakers and small business owners. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hey, Sina. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Hey, Casey. Yeah, absolute pleasure to be on. Thank you so much for welcoming me on the podcast. Looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely, no problem. So Hey, It Gets Better is all about exploring kind of the ups and downs of life and, you know, how like it sometimes doesn't go how we expect it to go. And you've had a very full-on career already. You've had a lot of experience. So I was wondering if you could just start off by, you know, introducing a little bit about what you currently do and what you've done.
Yeah, I'll try like keep the intro like fairly short. I mean, I do a podcast myself, and whenever I ask that question, it's like some people talk for like 10 minutes, and it's like come on. So I'll try to keep it very short, and it'll probably be 10 minutes anyway. Like who knows? But anyway, yeah, my name's Sina. Good to be on the podcast. I started my first business at the age of like 19 at University of Bristol is where I was at. It was called Peppercorn, and it ended up not working out, and we can maybe go into like why it didn't work out. But that first business was around connecting businesses with surplus food to local nonprofits that wanted to take it, because there's a big issue with obviously food waste, and that was like a big passion of mine. So I worked on that for about a year, to be honest, like in between studies, and I got a few grants. Like I won a grant from O2 and I won a grant from the University of Bristol. So I raised about £12,000 funding for that business and like won a few awards and stuff like that. Thing is though, it didn't like go anywhere. Like that's the issue. Like, and it was a bit annoying to be fair, but we can talk about like why it didn't go anywhere and why it eventually like failed. But yeah, after that sort of wind down because of the pandemic, then I moved on to another business called Wing, which is all focused around innovating in-person networking, because I saw all like loads of innovation within online networking, but I didn't see any innovation within in-person networking. So like me and my team eventually like, yeah, started that business, and that's still going, and we've been working on it for about a year and a bit now. Still bootstrapped, we're making revenue, and like we're signing some pretty cool partnership deals that I'm really excited about. And I've recently started a role as head of growth at an NFT marketplace platform, which is like amazingly exciting, and that's like how we got introduced. I also host 4 different podcasts, which is like a lot of talking. So I do my own one, which is the Millennial Entrepreneur. I do one for 2 different brands. And I also do a football one with like a few friends. So yeah, that's pretty much my life in like a couple minutes.
I think it's brilliant how you do so many things. A lot of the time, you know, we think, you know, your career is just one job. And, you know, you do so much with your time. I think, you know, we always look at, so the podcast, we look at like, hey, it gets better stories and stories of growth. And have there been kind of any moments in your life where you've had like that, hey, it gets better journey, where something hasn't worked out really, but it's led to better things?
I think like I get a constant sort of battle of imposter syndrome, as well as like, so what really motivates me in life, like I've discovered what makes me happy as an individual, and I think this does definitely resonate with a lot of young people, is like variety in life. And I think that's very unique to our sort of generation, where we're no longer satisfied by having like a 9-to-5 job and then like that's it. That's all that defines you as an individual. We want to have different things that are going on. Obviously, like I'm generalizing, not everyone. Like if your 9-to-5 makes you happy, then like loads of credit to you. Like well done. Like you found happiness, which is the ultimate goal. But I think what's very unique about our generation is that we want to do different things. We want to have that 9-to-5. We want to do like a blog about something else. We want to have this side hustle. We want to like I don't know, just play sport in this. Like, there's loads of different things that you want to do. And I think what really motivates me as a person is variety in life. What I really struggle with, I think like a big reason Capricorn also might have failed, is that I just wanted variety without actually working on the progress of those different things, if that makes sense. So it's just like, I got bored very, very quickly. So I would start one business and then I would be like the thrill of starting it was enough for me. Then I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to start something else now. And like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that without actually like growing that thing. So I was very good at sort of selling ideas and selling like products and like doing that sort of thing and talking, which is ultimately like why I do podcasting, I guess, now. But I guess at the beginning, I wasn't too good at actually sticking to that one business and actually growing it and nurturing it and actually like going through the hardships to actually grow it. I was just like, the thrill of starting it was enough for me. I think what I've really developed in the last sort of 2 to 3 years was that whole sort of, I'm going to say no to different opportunities that come up, even though that initially they'll excite me massively, to focus on these different things that I'm going to prioritize. And I think that's a very healthy way of looking at it. And I think a lot of young people, where the sort of, I don't know, like imposter comes in, is maybe like they start things and they leave them and they're like, oh, maybe that was because I wasn't good enough. I don't think it's because of you weren't good enough. I just think it was because you didn't spend enough time on it and you didn't nurture your own talent in that business. I learned a lot from Peppercorn because I spent a lot of time in it, even though it eventually failed. But if you're continuously just starting new different things, then you won't have that time to fail and that time to learn, if that makes sense. So yeah, it was a very different sort of learning curve to what I've been taught with school and university and like even Instagram. Like that's been an influence to me, like, and many young people. So yeah, I don't know if any of that sort of ramble was useful, but no. I've definitely, yeah, I think sticking to a few different things is definitely like a strength and not a weakness.
There's like, so what you said, like there's a lot of stuff that resonated with that. It's particularly like, so you know, there's the idea that I think it like takes like, I'm gonna say like, I want to say 10,000 hours to become a master of something. It might be another zero in there, I can't remember, but it's quite often, I think, when, you know, when, especially when you compare yourself to people on social media who you don't see the stages they were at before, where they, you know, yeah, they weren't that good at it. But I think now sometimes we, especially, you know, again, a mass generalization, but, you know, this generation will start things, expect to be good at them.
Precisely.
And then if we're not good at them, actually, because there's so many options, we can pivot, we can change, we can do something else. But there's something that comes from growing something or becoming good at something that you can actually only achieve if you commit those hours.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I fully agree to that. And I think, yeah, I think what's very unique about the age that we live in is that there is much unlimited choice. There are jobs now that did not exist even 5 years ago. So it's like, of course, if you're doing something, but you can see other people doing some other cool, unique things that didn't even exist 5 years ago, like, of course you're going to be tempted to move to that. And like, and then when you actually move to that, some other job and some other sort of opportunity will come up. So we have this phenomenon now, like huge amount of like unlimited choice that didn't exist before. So I think it's natural that our generation is facing this. And what I really sought comfort in was that I wasn't alone in this experience of like loving variety and wanting to do different things. And yeah, I think, yeah, given this a new thing, it hasn't really been documented much on like how to get past the whole sort of like dealing with all these different options, because there are endless amount of options, which is good and bad. I don't think people talk about the bad enough. So yeah, I completely agree with you.
It reminds me a bit about decision fatigue. And obviously it's the reason, you know, like Mark Zuckerberg always wears like a black top and stuff, is because they don't have to make that decision. But then I think what we've got is such a wide variety of options on the big things that it is, you know, and I think you can be scared to make the wrong decision, which can lead you sometimes to making no decision.
Yeah, I think if you think about it, right, like any decision that you make, like the most stressful part of that decision making is actually like when there's no decision that you've made. Like, it's not actually like, as soon as you make the decision, then you're okay. What you have to deal with it after you've made the decision is any sort of regrets. But that doesn't cause as much anxiety, I find, personally, as like being in limbo between those two different decisions. Mm-hmm. So what I kind of like to have taught myself now is like, I'll make a decision fairly quickly and then just like, I'll happily accept if the other one was a better option. I'm like, okay, well, I know that now, hindsight, like, but
yeah.
At the time I thought this was the best option and making the decision quickly was probably the best thing to do. Rather than lingering on it, because that would have caused more headache for me. So yeah, I think like the decision fatigue is definitely a thing in like this sort of generation, and I've had to deal with it. Everyone has had to deal with it. People are dealing with it right now. It's a very difficult thing. And just because there's just so much option with everything right now.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy. Like hindsight makes it so easy to be like, I should have done that. I should have done this. But without hindsight, you don't get all the learnings. And, you know, I think, you know, you said like Peppercorn failed, but you've also learned a lot from it. So in a way, it was a success. And
yeah,
I don't know if you want to share like some of the stuff you've learned from like starting a business and then like closing a business.
I think like it was the indicators of success that were sort of very unique to my journey there, because I thought, once I sort of got those grants and that money, like I was like, oh, like I've made it pretty much. Like I was like, yeah, I'm pretty much done. But that money was there to like develop the business. And so I didn't really know what to do after that step, because obviously I was very good at selling the idea. I was very good at talking, but when it actually came to growing the business, I had no idea like how to do that. So I had all that money in my bank account. And like, I didn't know the next step to take, really. Like, I didn't know whether to build a website. I didn't know whether to talk to people. Like, no one really taught me anything. Like, I think there's more support now for young entrepreneurs than there were like five years ago. So, and like, yeah, because at the time I had no idea. So I just did what I thought was right. And I just built a website. I was just like, yeah, this is the right thing to do. I feel like this is the natural progression. When in actual fact, I shouldn't have probably done that. So I built a website. I spent about $6,000 building this website, like £6,000 building this website. If it was my own money as well, that's another thing. If it was my own money, I would not have done that. But it's because it was like someone else's, it was like grant money. I was like, oh yeah, like that's what they expect me to do. So it's okay. So I built this like random website, expecting that as soon as I build it, like all these people should start using it, like charities and businesses. What actually happened is that I spent about 3 months and £6,000 building this website that like no one used. It's like, it's crazy. Only like I would use it to show other people, like when it comes to like giving grant funding and stuff like that. That was the only part of the business I was good at. So I learned a lot of like different stages and like what to do, because what I should have done, and I know this now, is like I should have probably talked to businesses. I should have talked to charities to see like what they would have wanted in a service like this. And then would have built a very low tech solution for what they wanted. And then to test out the idea, once they were kind of happy with that, then I'd find out like, okay, this is a scalable thing. Then I would build a website if I needed to, if that was the way to scale it, which it might not have been. It might have been like a WhatsApp bot to like match them together. I don't, like there's different ways to scale at that point. Eventually there probably would have been a website, but it would have been more sort of to attract like as a place for leads to come in rather than like the actual platform itself. But I think I didn't know that step at the time. So when it came to Wing, my new business, we didn't have a website for a long time. And like, we were making money before we actually had the website, which people might not think is possible, but people were paying us on Instagram. People were like DMing me asking to purchase the products on Instagram. And we got our first sort of 30 users just from Instagram, which is a bit crazy. Like people don't know that. But like, yeah, so we that's what we did. And then eventually we built a website to handle like all this traffic. But we didn't need a website to actually test the product to see if it would work, you know? We just needed a couple videos to put on Instagram and it just worked out. That's like not even unique to my solution as well. Like I know loads of people that have processed payments on Instagram and like tested things out through WhatsApp, tested things out through like Facebook groups and stuff like that. It's not a unique thing to me. But I only learned that through the failure of Peppercorn, like wasting all this money on a website that no one used. So yeah.
I feel like this is such an applicable lesson, though, to like life in general, because what we're talking about here is really like status markers, which are like the awards, the grants. And then we're talking about, you know, what you,
right,
what you think you need. So you need, you know, everyone's like, you need a website. Like I've had, you know, running your own business. You have so many people that give you business advice that aren't even like necessarily in your business or in your industry.
Mm.
You know, if you tell someone you've got a business, you get a lot of advice from like everyone, and people, and some of it is status markers. And often I think the way we live life is we can be drawn to those markers of status, those things that we, big moments that we can celebrate on Instagram, when really what we've got to do is we've got to do the small little steps, the behind the scene work. And I think it's just applicable to like everything in life. Like, it's not even just applicable to business.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you there. And I think that's something that I've discovered about myself, is that I was like, why am I applying for all these grants and awards and stuff? Is it because I want to grow this business, or is it to share on LinkedIn? And I drilled down quite like a lot to discover why that was the case. And in actual fact, like, it's because I wanted to share it with like friends, peers, and just like to basically show the success, like showcase that this is happening in my life. But it was all the behind the scenes stuff that I wasn't really doing, because it was like, that's the unglamorous part, like that you don't really share on any social media platform. So it was very surprising that I discovered that about myself. And I think that is very sort of, it does happen out there. Like, people are like raising all this money. Like, I think raising money is a very interesting one as well. Like, it might not be sort of applicable to a lot of your audience members, but something I'm discovering at the moment is like, people start a business, people raise money, people share about their money on LinkedIn, and then they get a lot of interest through that. You don't actually need to raise money. Like, if you don't need it, you don't need to raise money. I've been speaking to a lot of people, like close sort of founders of like to me, and I'm like, do we want to raise money? And they're like, well, in actual fact, like, if you're already making revenue and you don't need it, then no, like, you don't need that. But I was like, I just thought the natural progression was to always raise money. And for some businesses, you definitely do need to raise money. Like, some businesses, you can't sort of make revenue until you raise investment. Like, but if you have a business model like ours, which is you don't need to raise it, like, because you can already make revenue without it, then you don't need different people on the cap table and stuff like that. But these different things is like, I just thought you just needed it to like actually function as a business. But the more I dug deep in myself, it wasn't because of that. It was more because like I wanted to share it on all these social media platforms. It's a very strange one. Like, and I think, for sure, it's all that social signaling is like, I'm doing really well, I'm doing all this type of stuff. But it's the behind the scenes stuff that really makes the business huge. And then another thing as well, like, people don't really care that much. Like, even if like the good and the bad, if you share it on social media, people might look at it and be like, oh, that's pretty cool. But like, people don't really care. Like, honestly, people don't care. Like, if I see something on LinkedIn, like, that's not a bad thing, by the way. Like, that's not a bad thing whatsoever. That's actually a good thing. I think, like, it gives me a lot of comfort to be like, if I share this on a podcast, if I share very honest stories on a podcast or social media, or if I share failures or even good stuff, people will look at it for about 2 seconds. They might not even see it. People might look at it for 2 seconds and be like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then just go on the rest of the day. People have got stresses and problems themselves. So it's like, they don't, honestly, it goes in, goes out. They might remember a little bit of it. But in actual fact, like, people don't care that much, even if you fail or succeed. So it's like, don't make decisions based on what you're going to post on LinkedIn or any social media platform.
Yeah.
If you want to do the grind, like, you can do it without doing all the posting. If you're posting for personal brand, that's different. But if you're posting just for them for like other people to say, oh, good job and stuff like that, then I feel like you're going about it the wrong way. Because that's the trap that I was falling into.
Yeah, I think what comes into it as well is like ego, and like, I think something that we don't really talk about it enough. Like, people don't talk about it enough is like, everyone has an ego. That's a fact. It's just how, like, psychologically how we work. And it's when you start like actually separating decisions and things you do because of your ego from what actually, like you said, you've said a few times that you found a lot about yourself, and like, so that's like your higher self. And it's like, when you go into like a decision making process and you literally say to yourself, look, you go to do something, you're like, actually, that's my ego says let's do this, whereas actually this, which is like probably like, you know, the less, you know, glamorous option, tends to be what serves us most.
Yeah.
I think it's like something we need to do more in with every aspect of life as a society is to separate our egos from what we actually do.
I think what an exercise that I've found that has really like helped me when it comes to this, and I didn't like read this or listen to it on a podcast or anything, is just, I don't know, just like self-discovery, is literally just drill down on like why you're doing, like why do you feel like that? Like, because sometimes you don't really do that self like reflection of like what actually drives you as an individual. It's like, so all these sort of awards that I was applying to, I was like, why am I doing that? So I drill down on that. It's like, okay, so I wanted to make it seem like I'm growing an amazing business, to make like get some social validation, to like basically say that, oh, this business is going in the right direction and everything. It's like, why am I doing that? Well, so people can like take me seriously as an entrepreneur, like to have a voice in the space and stuff like that. And it all kind of came down to like ego, you're right. It came down to like my own sort of motivation to like, I guess, validation from external sources. So I discovered that about myself, and it's like, if I can get validation from myself and not from external sources, I won't have that issue, and I won't need to apply for awards based on showcasing it to other people. Because literally before, I would apply to every single award. Like if you go on my LinkedIn, like before maybe 2020, I had all these awards, like tons of them, and then like from 2020 to 2021, I've not really had that many, apart from awards that I think would really benefit my business. Mm-hmm. Not benefit me, benefit my business. So those are the ones that I've applied to. So I think given that discovery about myself, I've been very selective, because these awards definitely take time to apply to. And it also takes a lot of mental energy to like spend on all the decision makings to get external validation. So yeah, it's a very strange one that I've had to deal with as an entrepreneur, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think it's something like not even just entrepreneurs experience, but like everyone experiences, and it's that self-awareness. And once you achieve that self-awareness, you can serve yourself better in life. But yeah, so I find this really interesting though. It's like, so you talk, do you view yourself and the business as one, or do you like now separate it?
No, they're different things, I find. Like given, I don't think that's like applicable to everyone. I think some people, their business and them are very similar things. Like because of the way their business is like structured, it's like it depends a lot on personal brand. So of course it depends on them a lot, like their image.
Yeah.
Whereas like my business doesn't depend on me that much as the face. For other things such as my podcast, then yeah, it depends on me very, very heavily. So of course I'm going to be very involved in that when it comes to promoting. For the other stuff, I don't really see myself as that defines me as an individual. I see that as like one part of me, but I don't see that as like a defining thing. I don't think there's like a right or wrong way about this, by the way. Like it's whatever serves you the most. But again, like if you're starting that business because, I don't know, you want like external validation, then don't really start that business. If you want to do it because you actually genuinely like business, and then yeah, do it. I think I wouldn't say I'm like the same as my business.
I think it's very, yeah. I find that really interesting, is the way entrepreneurs talk about their business and stuff. Cause you know, businesses do fail. And the fact is actually like a lot of businesses do fail, and it's how you come back from that failure and the separation of you had from your own identity and the identity of the business. I find that like
100%
that needs to be there, because if the business does fail, like it doesn't actually mean you are a failure.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And I haven't really read enough about sort of people who they're very, very tied in closely with their business. Their business fails, and it's like that's a whole identity of theirs just gone. And it's just like they would associate the failure of their business to them very, very closely. And that's obviously not very good for their mental health if they just like put a lot of pressure on themselves and they don't really see like the learnings behind it. So yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong way. I would say if you can, then do separate yourself from the business. But if you have to be the face because of personal brand, then again, like maybe separate yourself. So I don't know, actually, I don't really know the answer to this, because I'm not really too heavy on personal brand when it comes to businesses.
Yeah.
I do a lot of friends of mine, like friends of mine that are very, very close to their business in that way, where like their business depends on them very heavily as like the personal, the face of it. So I don't know what they would do if like the business failed, to be fair.
It's really interesting.
It is an interesting one. I've not really thought about it before.
Yeah, I think as well, it's not even, I think one of the things you probably do really well, and that might help with this, is the variety and the variety of aspects that are build up your identity. Because I think like with identity, the way we protect ourselves is that we have our identity and our sense of self is so secure that if one part goes, then, and like, this is not just applicable to business, but it's like, you know, careers, like it can be applicable to relationships. You know, if you have an identity that is so secure in yourself, that actually the absence of one part will not affect it. I think that's the best way forward. But it's much easier for me to say this than actually like achieve it and do it.
I think you're 100% right. I think it's definitely applicable across not just business, but yeah, relationships and everything really. Like it depends like what you, if you define yourself, your identity is based around other things and not just like internal things. Like I've had a lot of people, like, I don't know if you, I've ever heard people on like first dates or whatever, and they're just talking about other things. They're talking about, oh, have you watched this film?
Like, oh yeah,
he was really good in this film and that type of thing. And it's like, why don't you talk about yourself in some way? You know what I mean? Like their identity is based on external.
Yeah.
Which I've always found a bit strange. So it's not even strange. It's just like, I just don't think that's them as actual people. They need to discover who they are as individuals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I completely agree. If you can somehow not internalize the external and like make your personality or mental space dependent on those different things, then yeah, you're in a much freer space.
Yeah, I think a lot of the episodes recorded this season, like a massive part of it has been like discovering who you are and, you know, and actually like, I think there's so much you can do. And I think probably one of the reasons, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe one of the reasons you do know who you are so well is because you actually have tried quite a lot of things and you do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And like you said, you now are in a position to say no to things that don't really fit with you. But, you know, have you said yes to the wrong thing sometimes?
That's a very good question. I've said no to things that, I mean, sorry, I've said yes to things that I probably didn't believe in as much. But I've not said yes to things that are like definitely wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been quite lucky though. I have like, I know I could have been in that space, but I do know, I can tell like the red flags and stuff. If like, I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me too much. But yeah, I think the main ones, maybe like people coming on my podcast and just not really being the right fit. Cause like they would message me and I was fairly desperate at the beginning for guests and they would just talk about fairly toxic information for young people. And so, yeah, there was moments like that where I was like, I think I've made the wrong decision. It's not really the sort of brand I want to build when it comes to this. So yeah, it's just like small mistakes like that, saying yes to those sort of things, but I've not made like a big mistake when it comes to saying yes, yet. Could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think that's interesting is like, you know, the things you have, like they're small things. And I think a lot of the time, like, and this is where like why it is important to test yourself a little bit and do things a little bit, maybe say yes to stuff or like that you're not always 100% sure, is because you can get that information and that feedback so you can fine tune yourself, so you're not actually, then you don't go down the line and make a big mistake. It's just like minor ones. They're not even really mistakes. I should stop using that word. It's more like learnings.
Yeah, it's more just discovering, I guess, like discovering what you think would work best after it happens. Like, because those guys talking about the information, it was like, it was just, it didn't sit well with me as the sort of like brand I wanted to build for my podcast. So, but I didn't really know that until they were on, if that makes sense. Because they were like talking about just like the money aspect. They were like, oh yeah, like you buy it for this money, you just like flog it. And like, I don't know, like the way they were talking, it wasn't really sort of representative of what entrepreneurship is. And there was like a very sort of rose-tinted view of what entrepreneurship is. So I thought for young founders who are very impressionable, it wasn't the sort of right fit. But I only found that out after I said yes to them, right? So I think with a lot of business or even personal experience, like you do have to say yes to certain things and then discover why that was wrong or like why that was not really for you afterwards.
Oh yeah, I'm 100% a big believer in, like, I always say yes to stuff, and then I went quad biking, I hated it. Never doing that again.
I think at the beginning, like, you definitely do need to say yes to like everything. Yeah, I quite like saying yes to everything. I've done some weird stuff, like growing up, like I did like stand-up comedy at like 15, like I've just done some weird stuff. But I've discovered like because when I said like variety, it wasn't just in business, it was like pretty much everything. And now I've like narrowed it down to what I think, like what I've discovered like makes me very, very happy is like building these different businesses and things like that. So yeah, I think just say yes to everything at the beginning and then just to discover who you are as an individual.
Yeah, I think that's a really good bit of advice. And it's come across in quite a few episodes now. It's like, you know, just trying new things, but like not having the expectations that it will be like, this will happen or this won't happen. And I think, you know, if you have that with every aspect of life, then whatever happens, like if you don't have those expectations, it should all be okay.
Yeah, I think as well, like, don't follow the crowd too much. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you see young people, like other friends of yours doing certain things, like, you don't have to follow them in certain ways. Like, so, yeah, I think a lot of my friends and stuff, they go clubbing still and they drink a lot. And I'm just like, not really on that. So it's like, I find different ways to, but I don't follow them. I don't like, I'm like, oh, I don't need to do that to fit in with them, you see. And if they're pressuring you to do it, then you probably have to find new friends. So it's like that sort of thing. It's like, don't follow the crowd too much and feel like you have to. But it's the same thing. It goes back to the same thing of like, if your identity is based around your friends, for instance, then maybe you should not really like think that way. Like find a different way to like perceive your own like personality and identity. Yeah, so it comes back to that same point.
Yeah, it's really like, I was just thinking like how many aspects, because I find like a lot of the things to do with business and stuff is so applicable to actual life. And like to be an entrepreneur, to run your business, you need such a level of self-awareness to make those decisions that actually when you apply that to your actual life, it's actually really helpful as well. So like lessons of entrepreneurship can like, they're very helpful to anyone, even if you, because in your sense, your life is like a bit, like can be like a business.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's like a difficult thing to deal with as well, like as a CEO, like entrepreneur, and like someone fairly senior in like a startup, is everyone kind of comes to you for the answers, and a lot of the time, like, you don't even know what the answers are. Like, that's the thing, and like, but you have to sort of maintain that sort of image of like knowing what's going on, because if you're, I mean, it's a balance. Like, you can be vulnerable with your team for sure. I do support that, but at the end of the day, if you don't have any of the answers, your team won't really look to you for inspiration. They won't like look to you for guidance. So it's sort of maintaining that sort of, yeah, like, I know what's going on with the direction of the company. And a lot of the time, like, I'm really uncertain. That's the difficult part. So I think an aspect of entrepreneurship and business that people don't really realize is that it can be fairly lonely, because I can't turn to a lot of the people in my team for sort of, oh, where should we go with this decision? It's because it's my decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm the one that has to like take in that direction. So it is a fairly lonely journey sometimes. So you have to make friends with other founders, other people within a similar space to you. Again, like something that's not talked about at all on Instagram, LinkedIn, anything like that, because that just shows the glamorous parts. This is the reality, is that it does get quite lonely sometimes, because you don't really know like who you can talk to about these issues.
Yeah, that's something like a lot of the founders and CEOs like I've had on the podcast have said that, and like even my own experience of it, it does get lonely, and it does get, and it, I think that's where communities of other founders and just, or even like close relationships with, as of like a one, like friends and stuff, like is someone who can understand this stuff. But then you also have the fact is that like sometimes, particularly when you work on certain projects, you can't share a lot of the information, you know, like NDAs are a thing, and like the higher you go, the more you tend to have to sign. So like even that, like it's like trying to find a way you can internally like hold these decisions and still have a place of comfort in yourself and your life. And I guess that's where separating work and life comes as well.
Yeah, I think so too. Like if you're letting those decisions impact your mental energy, then that's not a good thing. Like that's a different problem, I think. Whereas like staying strong when it comes to decision making within a business is, yeah, you have to separate those two things because they're very different. If you're letting like those decisions impact your mental space, then you do need to speak to someone, for sure. But I think if you can find a way to separate those two, like your mental energy with those big decisions within a business, then you have a level of mental strength that would definitely allow you to grow your business a lot faster, if that makes sense. So I think like, yeah, the overlap is quite difficult to have, if that makes sense.
It's definitely a challenge.
Like, yeah.
It's definitely, and that's why it's like a difficult career choice as well. Like it isn't, I think it's not for everyone either. It's, you know, and it has its pros and cons and like everything in life. You just need to find your internal values and check, like go with what that leads you to. But yeah,
I agree.
Thank you so much though for coming on the podcast. It's coming to the end now. I'm just going to end how I end it, like with everyone.
Wow.
Which is like, I just asked this question, you know, so someone's listening to this and they're in like a bit of a, like a rubbish situation. They feel like this is where their life is at now. They don't think it gets better at all. What would you say to that person?
I think, yeah, try different things out. Discover what makes you happy as an individual and then try to find a way to like make a career out of that. I think that's honestly like what I've discovered about myself is like, I know that this makes me happy. I've like tried to make a career out of it and I've done so. I think realizing as well that you've been born in an age now where you can create opportunity out of like any interest you have. Like it's actually pretty crazy. If you actually think about this, it's actually mental. Like Francis Bourgeois, who I've met at this like event that I went to, he like, I actually thought about him really deeply the other day. I was like, the guy's made a living out of like trains. And like, think about that. Like he hasn't been able, like no one in history has been able to do that. Like if you actually think about it, it's actually crazy. So if you have an interest of anything, like you can make a career out of it. And it's because like of how interconnected the world is now. Like social media gets a bad rap, but there are a lot of positives that come out of it. So you don't have to like make, you don't have to put your face on camera as well. That's another thing. Like you can make like blog content and blog posts and stuff. I know people that are making thousands of pounds a month just from blogging. Like I myself made $1,000 a few months ago just from blogging. Like it's crazy. But so there are these opportunities that exist now that weren't, like again, weren't here about 5 years ago. So for you, if you're in a place right now where you don't really know where you're going with your career and like you're in a bad situation, I would say try all these different things, find out what makes you happy and then try to find a way that you can monetize from it. And even if it's like not as much money as you make now, like you'll still be happy in that situation. Like podcasting, again, same thing. Like I enjoy speaking to people. You enjoy speaking to people. You can make money from this. Like I work with brands at the moment. I host their podcast. I get paid for it. And if I did a few more of those, like that would be, I could make a living out of that, you know, but it's, I don't really want to make a living out of podcasting. It's not my like passion, like to just do that. So I don't do that. But for someone that's like, that's their only passion, they can do it. So very, very long answer, but to kind of like wrap it up, just, I think the first step, discover what makes you happy. I think that's the best answer.
Thank you so much for joining in today's episode of Hey, It Gets Better. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, it would be absolutely amazing. I hope you have a brilliant day and I will see you in the next episode.